time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody, welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up to the Saturday morning sun, plopped on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch our favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars. You know what? It's just like Our Real Monsters, where it has
an exclamation point at the end.
So I have to shout it. You have to shout it. And so I apologize. Yeah. I'll restate it. Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, but now every time we say it, we have to say it like that.
Oh crap! Okay. Yeah.
So
I will try to remember that.
We probably shot ourselves in the foot or throats, I guess. In your case, that's really bad because you're still getting over your sickness.
Mine's just now starting to sound like a real throat again.
So. Like a real throat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had that like fake smoker's throat for a few weeks. So
yeah.
Just now healing.
Well, I'm no doctor, but I think the best thing you can do right now while it's healing is to shout as loud as you can and strain your throat.
Whiskey. Like while I do it.
Oh yeah. Probably
that
both.
Helps. Yeah.
Same time.
And this was chosen by David Benda. Thank you, David.
Yes. Thank you, David. So the show Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars aired from 91. Sorry. I did it again. So the show Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars aired from 91 and 92. It was created originally by Larry Hama as a comic book writer and Michael Golden as a comic book artist in 1978 and 1979. So this is based on the original comic book from the 70s, which is really cool. Produced
by Larry Hama work on like, a lot of G.I. Joe stuff.
I can't say for sure, but I will trust you on that.
Okay.
Unless you're lying to me, and then I'll never trust you again.
I might be.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. So this is produced by Sunbow Productions, Marvel Productions, Abrams Gentile Entertainment, and Continuity Comics, and IDDH. And I don't know what that stands for. It's just IDDH.
I don't think it's appropriate for the show.
It could be something cool.
Nope.
Oh. So this only ran for one season, 13 episodes. In the US, it ran first run syndication, and in the UK, it aired on BBC. For a short synopsis, Bucky and his crew must fight the evil toads who are bent on taking over the universe.
You know, I feel like it's racist just to assume that it's all the toads. You know, except
that it's all the toads.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, what if there's one toad out there that isn't doing it, then that phrase would be racist.
Well, then he's a rebel toad or a rogue toad.
Rogue toad.
But that's hard to say. I guess really the only thing you can't do is put frogs in that category as well. Frogs are completely different. Oh
yeah, it's true. They probably don't have as many warts. The toads like their warts. Like they were purposely trying to get more warts.
Yeah, they had like a wart growth cream. Them look good. A frog would never do that. Frogs have smooth skin.
Definitely not.
No Frags warts.
Frogs are way too OCD for that.
So who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okay, so before I get into those, just a quick note, so I don't need to mention these every time. Pretty much the entire cast has worked together for a very long time on the following shows. 21 Jump Street, Camp Candy, Captain N the Game Master, G.I. Joe, Double Dragon, The Hurricanes, Pocket Dragon Adventures, The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, RoboCop Alpha Commando, and Sabrina the Animated Series. With that out of the way, this can be much shorter. So, the voice of Bucky O'Hare was Jason Mikus, who performed in pretty much all the things I listed before, as well as Dragon Tales. The voice of Willie DeWitt was Shane Mayer, mostly known for playing the son of Clint Eastwood's character in Unforgiven. I've not seen that movie, but they asked a question about it at trivia, and that made me real sad that I didn't know it.
Aw.
The voice of Deadeye Duck was Scott McNeil, one of my favorite voice actors of all time. We've seen him a couple times in some of the shows that we've done, but you may recognize his voice as Piccolo, Majin Buu, or Android 16 from the English dub of Dragon Ball Z. He was Duo Maxwell in Gundam Wing. He was Blanka in Street Fighter. He was Rat Trap, Dinobot, Waspinator, and Silver Bolt in Beast Wars. He was Wolverine in X-Men Evolution. and Beast Man, Stratos, Ram Man in Masters of the Universe versus the Snake Men, which I didn't know was actually a cartoon. I knew it was a comic, and I read that, and that was fun. But anyway, that's just scratching the surface of this guy's resume. He is an amazing talent.
Huh.
The voice of Pilot Jenny. That is literally what she is listed as, Pilot Jenny. Like, I guess they don't go by her real first. They just give her occupation as her name. So Pilot Jenny, voiced by Margot Penvidic. And she was in those previously mentioned shows and not a whole lot else. AFC Blinky was voiced by Samuel Vincent, who was the character of Dr. Cleese in the Lonesome Dove TV series. There was more than one, apparently. He was Sonic in Sonic Underground. He was Forge in X-Men Evolution. He was Double D from Ed, Edd n Eddy. He was Pidge in Voltron Force. Obi-Wan in Lego Star Wars. Again, like Scott McNeil, this is hardly a fraction of this guy's resume. It is crazy long for the guy that I've never really heard of before. The voice of Bruiser was Dale Wilson, who has done work in Darkstalkers, Mummy's Alive. So did Scott McNeil, which is cool. He was Akuma in Street Fighter. He was also in Reboot, and he was the voices of both Cell and Kami in the English dub of Dragon Ball Z. The voice of Toad Air Marshal, because he has no real name, just his occupation, kind of like Jenny, was Jay Brazow, who's also been in all of those shows I mentioned before, and the Cramp Twins. Then finally, our last one here, Complex, voiced by Long John Baldry, which we have heard his name before because he played Dr. Robotnik in The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was one of the worst shows we've ever seen. He was also in Reboot. So, like, maybe he's better than that. I don't know.
So these guys run a lot of stuff together.
This whole cast was super familiar with each other. The only two that weren't in as many of these things together was Margot, who voiced Jenny, and Shane, who voiced Willie. They were in a couple of those other ones with everybody else, but pretty much the rest of this cast has been in tons of stuff. So I'm guessing similar agents or something like that, or they had contracts with similar studios and exclusively worked for those studios, because I don't see how else that many shows would have the same cast.
I know we've heard Sunbow before on some shows we've done. I can't recall which, but this is a...
I would guess Sonic, honestly.
Oh, you know, maybe. This is a U.S.-French endeavor here, so it's
I bet it was Sonic then, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because the French fuck things up all the time.
Uh-oh.
Except for Fries. You guys got that right. Wait. Are they really French?
I don't even know anymore.
I don't think they are.
I'm pretty sure.
So we
sure
ruined
not.
Them for the better.
Yeah, is what, I guess.
What I'm saying.
Maybe.
Do you remember, at one time that when George W. Bush tried to make French fries freedom fries instead because he got mad at France for, I don't know, because he didn't understand what French toast was or something? I don't know.
I remember that. I don't remember why. And it definitely didn't stick because that's dumb. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Bucky O'Hare cereal, Bucky O'Hare was a comic book character created by Larry Hama in the 70s, and he made his first appearance in an issue of Echoes of Future Past, which is a different comic book that I've never heard of, but that was his first appearance, kind of like Spider-Man's Amazing Fantasy or Superman's Action Comics. So this was his first appearance. And what's weird is maybe I have, but I just never recall hearing about a Bucky O'Hare comic book. But maybe it's because it came before. Really?
I knew of it. Well, it's not like I didn't hear much about it. I had just seen covers of it before. So I just knew it existed. It's not like I ever read one. Since that was way before my time.
Yeah. I'm definitely familiar with the toys, though, the action figures that came out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was kind of the perfect combination of these interesting characters with these figures that came out. I know they had them for all the main characters, at least.
Right.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Willie had one, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Willie, you know, if they didn't make a figure of Willie, you could have just taken one of those generic ones that, like, of the Burger King like kids club and yeah. just substitute any of them for him and it would have looked perfect.
Oh yeah, that's true. Just throw some glasses on him if he didn't have them already.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of those characters looked exactly like Willy.
Yeah, the BK kids. Ugh.
Yeah.
Also, Bucky and his crew are members of the Space Organization who fly the Righteous Indignation, and SPACE stands for Sentient Protoplasm Against Colonial Encroachment. Why they had to make an acronym out of space, I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Also, this one I'm just going to pull a few from, but most of the ideas from the comic book were used for the cartoon with several major differences. For instance, the parallel universe the story takes place in is named Anniverse, and Willie DeWitt can travel freely between Earth and the Anniverse instead of being stranded there. So in the comics, he's actually stranded there. So he's stuck. He can't just like make a door appear and travel through it like you can in the cartoon.
So a kid stuck in space is too edgy for television is what we're saying.
Apparently. And yeah. this next one, I understand why. So Bruce, in the first episode, Bruce the Berserker Baboon is transported to another dimension.
Right.
But in the comic books, he's killed in the first
issue. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's obvious why they made that change. For the Toads, the Toad Empire is brainwashed through media instead of willingly following Complex. So, and I don't know that they willingly follow Complex, really. It sounds more like Complex just kind of took over and brainwashed them or something. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they even said that they were brainwashed.
Or at least that he just took over.
Yeah, like when we get into that, like I have a whole like I liked that idea, so I'll talk about it when we get to that episode.
Yeah, and there are a few other small ones, like Deadeye has a southern accent instead of a Scottish accent like he has in the comics. I mean, I guess they just wrote it Scottish when they were writing it.
I was gonna say, how do you write Scottish? But like you pretty much just pick whatever consonants you want and like put it where a vowel would be, and then you're writing Scottish.
Yeah, just write like a Scrooge McDuck.
That's why it's like impossible to read like the parts of Wolfsbane in the New Mutants comics. So that's interesting.
Oh, or even Banshee, yeah.
Or Banshee, yeah. Whatever word K-I-N is, they use that like all the time, and I never figured out what the hell it was supposed to be.
Well, so maybe that's why they changed that for the show as well. But so yeah. There were some minor changes, nothing like huge, I guess, with the exception of Willy being stuck there instead of being able to go back and forth, which I think would have been cooler. But, you know, I can see why they didn't. Anyway, do you have any memories of this show? Like, did you watch this when we were younger?
I know I saw it like once or twice. I was more familiar with the toys because my cousin had a bunch of them. I played with I know he had Bucky, he had Deadeye. But I loved the design of Bucky, and I thought he was really cool, and I was just really into it. I thought it was awesome. But so am I going insane? Am I insane? But did Bucky ever cross over with Battletoads at some point? Because if he didn't, like, what the hell, guys? You should cross this over because that would be crazy awesome.
I don't think so, but. Maybe there was like a weird little mini comic or something, but I can't recall that. I know they crossed over with Double Dragon, but not
really.
Well, not Bucky.
Battletoads did.
Yeah.
Well, they need to meet if that's never happened.
You know what's crazy? Well, kind of cool, but also a little crazy is so there was such a huge, and I guess still is such a huge fan base for Bucky O'Hare that. There's a website, I think it's buckyohare.org, that It specifically has, and this is only one season, it has five seasons of additional episodes scripted out, completely scripted out, not animated or anything, but completely scripted out. Script. Yeah, but okay. They have like episode by episode scripts where it's like broken down where it's this character says this is what's happening here. Like such a devoted fan base that there are actual scripts following the storylines carrying up to season five.
There's that many?
Uh-huh.
Surprised nobody's animated these yet.
I know, it's a shame. Also, I know there were two video games for it as well. There was one for Nintendo, and then the one for the arcade. I never played the arcade one, but I think I played the Nintendo one.
Could you imagine like a video game? It's like a fighting game between like Bucky O'Hare and the Battletoads, like Marvel versus Capcom style.
I think Dude. it would just work better as like a side scroller, kind of like Battletoads still, but with Bucky Fine. O'Hare and his crew in it.
Fine. But if they had to fight each other, because Bucky's racist against Toads and like they right. fought each other, it would be better than Batman v Superman.
Yeah, like, that's
guaranteed.
I wasn't even thinking about that when you were saying Battletoads, but yeah, now I see why that would be a huge yeah. deal.
Yes.
Huh.
It'd all be manipulated by, I don't know,
some fat guy.
Yeah. or complex.
some fat guy, yeah.
some neck beard behind a computer.
yeah. That's what I'm complex talking about actually
me.
Is.
Talking
yeah.
about me, guys.
what if Complex was just like the kind of a Wizard of Oz thing where it's just some fat dude behind a computer? Just like in South Park where it's the World of Warcraft episode.
The Make Love Not Warcraft episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. I like that idea. Yeah. it's just some guy on 4chan just manipulating everything.
He's controlling the Toad Empire. That'd be hilarious.
That was a screen name he came up with. He spelled complex wrong and became complex.
Regular complex was taken, so he just figured he'd add a K to it.
Right. It's awesome. I love this origin story.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. Your first episode, highest rated episode, and finally a random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode, being War of the Warts, Season 1, Episode 1. And in this one, Bucky O'Hare and the Righteous Indignation crew learn that the Toad Empire has taken over his homeworld, Warren, and must travel there to investigate.
Do you get it? Like, so War of the Warts, it's a play on War of the Worlds. Did you get that?
I got
Did
it.
Did you get it?
I got it.
Oh. Fine.
Did you know, like, what's cool, and I was wondering if it carried on, but I didn't look into it. The second episode we watched and the episode directly following that are both play-ons of Clint Eastwood movies.
I did not get that. I did not.
Oh.
Let's not talk about it.
Okay. So what happens in this one? How does it start out?
Well, like, we start out seeing that that Toads... they fly around in spaceships that look like themselves, that look like Toads. And I was just thinking about how weird is that? That'd be like us flying around jets that look like humans. You know how scary that would be? Like these giant humans just that's flying like, through the sky.
That's really weird. Like gingerbread men living in gingerbread houses. It's like,
yeah.
Are the houses made of flesh or are the people, are the gingerbread men made of house?
It makes things a lot scarier when you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like how, like, the Ninja Turtles, you know, some of their gear is, like, covered in turtle shells. I'm like, are they killing other turtles and using them as decorations? Like, what is happening here? This is really morbid.
Yeah. I think we made it a lot more morbid, but I like it. I like this train of thought.
I just want to see... somebody like apply some of the ideas from 90s and 80s cartoons to real life and have a movie where people are flying around, you know, space cars and stuff, but they look like humans just with their arms outstretched, just flying through the sky.
You know how Shredder always threatens to dine on turtle soup?
Yes.
I just want to see him like sitting down one day, actually just relaxing and eating turtle soup.
Just actually doing it. Like,
yeah,
and taking the time to like fluff out his napkin over his lap and everything.
And then he's disgusted by it. And he's like, ugh. And then the turtles are no longer his adversaries because he has interest in tasting them.
He's like, why did I think this was a good idea?
Yeah.
He'd probably get upset because like those spork prongs on his hands will keep knocking the bowl and keep spilling it. He wouldn't be able to get a good spoonful.
What's even worse is like Bebop, like he's pure warthog. I'm sure he'd be great. Like he could make bacon out of him.
Yeah, I would eat Bebop.
I would eat Bebop. I like that.
So another weird thing that I picked up on this is like, so you got like, I don't know, you got names like, you got like Dead-Eyed Duck, but then you got a character named Jenny. And a character named Bruce.
Well, Bruce is a Beetlejuicean berserker baboon.
Well, when you say it like that.
And Jenny is Pilot Jenny the cat.
Pilot Jenny.
Yeah.
And I could not, I didn't know she was a cat until someone straight up said, oh, she's a cat.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know.
You don't get a real cat feeling because of that like large pink headdress she has on.
Yeah. Is it a headdress or is that her hair?
I was assuming a headdress. Maybe she just has a cool pink mohawk. I don't know.
I assumed it was hair. It's this giant hair that goes up and then backwards and down behind her. And yeah. I assumed at first glance, not paying a lot of attention, that she was another rabbit and those were her ears were pulled back and that she had pink ears. But turns out she's a cat who I guess maybe she cut the ears off a pink bunny and then wore them, you know, because like just throw all the rules out the window. I mean, the toads are driving around toad things. It just doesn't make any sense.
Toad are driving around in toad vehicles. Yeah.
Right. And Deadeye has four arms for some reason. It's cool, but I don't get it.
let me tell you about the worst character in the show. And
is it Willie?
Yeah. I was hoping you'd agree.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I only say that because like I understand why he's there to try to have kids be like, oh, that could be me. Like I could be part of the space crew or whatever, but they don't need that. Like it still would have been interesting. Like you don't need to put a little human kid in every single cartoon. Just let it be what it is. And it's I get that he came from the comics originally, but they could have taken some liberties there and cut Willie out entirely.
Yeah. Literally cut him.
Yeah. Just be like, just have his photon accelerator mess up and he just gets like warped into something or mutated into some sort of animal.
Yeah. And the weird part of this episode was like, they kept cutting back and forth between what's going on with Bucky and his crew and what's going on with Willie just at home and at school without connecting the two till towards the end of the episode. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but one thing that I did like with the Willie section was that at one point he gets threatened by some bullies at school. And then in another segment, he's like at home and he's asking his dad. His dad's like, well, you should always do the right thing because blah, blah, blah. Now, like, don't talk to me, son. I got to go take a sip of my old cough medicine and spank your mother. And it's just like not getting the hint that his kid's about to get his butt kicked.
Yeah. So, you know, okay, one thing I did really like about the human aspect of this was, so Willie is a nerdy kid, that's fine, but the way the bullies were threatening him, normally like cartoon bullies threaten nerds just because they're nerds
and they have
no reason for it. But in this case, it's like, I'm upset with you, not just because you're a nerd, but because basically the grades are being scaled off of Willie's scores. And so it's bringing everyone else, it's bringing the scale up and they're having to meet up with that. And so the bully even says that and he's like, you know, you need to fail this test so the rest of us can pass because what is it called when they grade like that?
It's the curve.
A curve. Yeah. Because like Willie's putting the curve way too high. And that's like, okay, like I get why this bully's upset because he's dumb and he's just not good at whatever subject this is, math and science, I guess, or Willie's things. And so Willie's making the curve way too high for the other kids.
What's really funny, though, is that like Willie looks like he's maybe 10 or 11 and his bullies look like they're about 16.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say like in their early 20s.
I was going to say that maybe Willie is just really smart and is like in a higher grade. But we end up seeing a lot more of Willie's classmates later and they're as short and like young looking as him. So I think it's just that group of three bullies are just so dumb that they've been held back by like 7 years.
Yeah. So they're really upset with this curve. Like they need to pass.
They're just like, I don't know what a curve is. So you need to knock it off. I like to have they try to spray paint the word nerd on his locker, but it looks like it says Nero.
That's exactly
like that D is not a D.
That's exactly what I thought too. Like, I wish they had spelled like that, put the E backwards or something.
Right.
Like, to make,
like, ha ha, Nero. And he's
Nero.
Like, just starts talking about, Willie comes up and just starts talking about like Nero in like ancient Rome and stuff.
Let me tell you a part that I didn't like where Willie like stood up to the bully finally and was like, you know, I challenge you with weapons of my choosing. And I was like, before anything even happened, I was like, man, it's going to be math and science. Like, I just know it. Like, those are his weapons. And so, yeah, eventually it turns out, like,
of course,
for some reason he wants to do a project with them. Maybe he's trying to make peace. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, that's in the next episode. But yeah, instead of like really standing up for himself, he helps them build a cool skateboard.
Yeah. Oh, what was that in the next episode?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I skipped ahead then.
Get your head back in the game.
Sorry,
Joseph.
We don't usually do episodes that follow each other so directly, so it's weird for me. It's all one big thing to me. Okay, it so
but, like, we also find out that there's like a UN of animals in space. You pretty much get there. It's pretty much just like a bunch of it's a barn basically, and they're all dressed in suits. You got like a pig and a duck and a moose for some reason. And
it's the anniverse because they're all animals.
I was surprised at how political this is, because it's kind of like he's trying to get more support from these guys, because he's like, yo, did you not notice the Empire of Toads that are like taking over all the planets? And they're like, that's not that bad.
Yeah, well, they're like, yeah, we need
literally
more
proof. Have one ship.
Yeah.
So
we'd love to give you more support, but we're going to need to see proof.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They want proof.
Yeah.
So he's like, fine, I'll get you proof. And then they're flying around. There's something wrong with some sort of science thing in their spaceship. They just make up words and it sounds right because it's sciency. And it sucks their engineer Bruce out of his clothes somehow.
Oh yeah.
And he disappears. And then when they're trying to repair it at the same time, Willie's at home building his own machine that is the same machine, because all 11-year-olds are genius boy inventors. I went through that phase, and I'm sure everyone else has. Even the girls went through that phase where they were genius boy inventors.
Yeah.
And they flip the switches at the same time, and his bedroom door shows up in the spaceship. And then, like, yeah, they're like, oh, man, our monkey is naked and lost. So now this child will take over by wearing his clothes.
Yeah, what's kind of interesting is proportionally, Willie, I mean, he's a short guy as far as humans go, but he's pretty big compared to these animals, because not that they're actual animal size, but they are pretty short.
They're small, yeah. He's way bigger than like Bucky and all of them. So,
yeah.
Do you think it was weird that multiple times like Jenny hugs and kisses Willie?
I thought it was weird that she was like flirting with him and he was like excited about it, like blushing. It's like, this is a cat. Come on.
Well, yeah, but it's a space cat with boobs. Like, she's got some boobs.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and she's got that hourglass feline figure.
I guess that makes all the difference.
Maybe Willie's a furry dude. I mean,
well, I guess the fact that she can talk also makes it a little different. And she has,
she can purr.
She has psionic powers of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, no, for no real reason.
We don't get to see her use them much. Not the episodes we watched anyway.
What happened to just cats having claws? Oh, maybe she was declawed.
Not good enough. She's a pilot and she's got magic.
Yeah. She's magic pilot cat with huge boobs and big pink hair.
Yeah.
I mean, if that hasn't drawn more attention and gotten some more people to watch it, I don't know what else will.
Nothing.
One thing that I did think was kind of funny is throughout like everything, every once in a while, if you see the Toad Army, you see them watching television. They watch a lot of TV and there's always commercials for stuff like work cream where it gives you warts, or they have like a flam, which is basically Spam but made out of flies.
Oh yeah. You even get to see the commercial delicious. Of them cutting flam like slice by slice. It looks so disgusting.
It was kind of cringy. It was like that video I sent you today of the woman eating pickles really close to the camera.
I know.
With the loud crunch and her chewing.
So weird.
I was sending that to so many people today. It was great.
You're the reason she has 5 million views on that video.
People just like pickles. If you look at the comments too, like everyone's super into it.
That's so weird. Man, forget it. We're going to stop doing Cartoon Boom. We're just going to do like Cartoon or Pickle Boom.
Yeah, let's just talk about pickles all day and eat pickles.
Just eat pickles.
That's why, like, I mean, Rick and Morty know. They're getting in on it. The whole Pickle Rick thing. They know what's going on. They know where all the views are.
Pickles are just in right now. You're right.
Listeners, let us know if you want to see us eat pickles.
I'll tell you what, we need to do Rugrats soon because then we can go over the Pickles family.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Put some good keywords in there.
I like it. Get some Reptar bars.
Oh, man. So good. we should probably move on to the second episode we watched for today's show, A Fistful of Simoleons, season one, episode two. And in this one, Willie joins Bucky's crew to Planet Warren, where they find information relating to the world's recent climate change.
They really just don't know how to name characters or planets. I mean, they just named this magic cat Jenny. There's this a planet. They named this planet just Warren.
I was trying to get like how that related to rabbits in any way.
Doesn't.
I guess it doesn't.
It really doesn't. Their moon is called Steven. You didn't know, so Steve.
Is it really? Are you...
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Just taking a guess.
I would have totally believed it, too, but that would have been funny.
I mean, yeah, their naming game is on point.
No. You know? This is our moon, Steven.
During the solar eclipse, Carl comes by and blocks out Steven.
Carl is our son. Yes. Okay, so let's see.
At first I thought this said A Fistful of Simoleons, and I was like, that seems wrong, but it's not. It's like Simoleons.
As if toad Simoleons. Hate wasn't racist enough. Yeah, no, Simoleons. Yeah. This picks up directly where the last episode left off, where Bucky and his crew were being shot by basically the full force of the toad armada. And,
led by the air marshal.
Led by the air marshal who has no name. And, like it ends with them all firing at once and it looks like they hit Bucky. But then when it comes into this episode, you see that Bucky and the crew, they just shoot back and repel the blast. It's like, how strong
you could do that.
Are your cannons that they can repel every, like, I don't know, 20, 30 plus weapons, 30 plus shots. I don't know, but they repel that.
That's what they've been training the police forces to do that's why they shoot so much is they're trying to shoot other bullets out of the air.
There you go.
Just in case.
Just shoot back and fire at the bullets. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's doing. So it's a pretty complex but worthwhile venture to get into.
So complex is someone we see.
I segued it for you.
Yeah.
I said complex.
So complex here is this giant metal, not even metal, like he's a giant like toad program that the toads created because they're lazy and they wanted an AI to do all their work for them.
He's the internet, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Complex is the internet before the internet existed.
Well, and I thought it was cool because this is what I like about this. So the story of Complex is basically like if we had created the internet and the internet itself became collectively sentient. Like I'm not talking about the 4chan people. Or anonymous or those. I mean, the internet itself, the program, like becoming sentient and then starting to control everything that happens in our society. That's what Complex is. And I'm like, that is a cool fucking idea. Like, that's awesome. But they made him look like a toad.
Yeah, he's like a weird kind of metal looking toad, almost like a
that pops out of TV screens.
Yeah, or like old Star Fox graphics, like Star Fox.
Oh, yeah, he does. He kind of looks like the old Andross kind of thing.
Yeah. And but he's the emperor to Air Commander wouldn't be Darth Vader. He would be an underling. But Darth Vader would be Toadborg, who we see.
Toadborg. Yeah.
At the end of this episode.
Toadborg's pretty, I don't know, dumb. So Complex is leading is in charge of the whole toad civilization now and has brainwashed the toads and turned them, like, educated them to become an army for his bidding, and he has armed them and had them create weapons and technology and spaceships so that they could go basically take over other planets for their resources or just destroy it for fun, which is basically what they did for Warren. They stole all the hares, which is the civilization that it's the race that Bucky is. He's a hare. They kidnap all the hares. they destroy the planet and they fart all over it because it's literally just like Bucky and them land there because they intercepted a shuttle carrying hostages from the planet Warren and finds out that the Toads had invaded Warren. So he goes there to see, you know, if there's anything he can do to help. It's too late. And it's just like, they're like, wow, there's so many flies. And they're looking at the air quality and they're like, oh, it's just, there's high levels of methane. And that's farts. The atmosphere is nothing but farts because that's all the Toads did when they got there.
They just all came and collectively farted.
Could you imagine like how many farts it would take to change the atmosphere of an entire planet? Good God.
Into a swamp-like atmosphere.
There would just have to be sprinklers of diarrhea covering this planet to make this happen. And now I know what I'm going to do for my next science project.
So in this one, Complex tells the Air Marshal that he needs to destroy Genus. And that's like the planet where the whole animal UN is based. But he has to get these satellite codes first to Genus's defense system. And to do that, he has to go through a bounty hunter whose name, or I guess just a spy or whatever, whose
His
name is
Al Negator.
Al Negator. And he is a large pink alligator, but he's not.
I thought he was purple. Maybe he's pink.
Maybe he's purple. I don't know. He's a large alligator, but he's not an alligator. Like he's called like a
Slesosaurus.
Slesosaurus. That's right. A Slesosaur. Yeah.
And
And
I liked him. I thought he was cool.
He was pretty cool. Like his whole thing. I mean, he even had like a weapon or like a gadgets dude that he went to.
Yeah.
Tinker.
A rat.
Yeah. A rat, of course, who built him a snooper and some disablers. And it actually really puts Bucky and his crew in a really bad position after he gets on the ship. And immediately, what's his name? Willie doesn't trust him. Well, but he doesn't say anything. He just kind of in the background, like, don't do it, Bucky. Don't do it. But he's not saying anything to anyone. And then I think Deadeye's against it also. But Deadeye's against pretty much everything. He's just the bad boy. Yeah, but Bucky is a very trusting individual. So he immediately, like, they need a engineer to help out with something. And so he is.
Because their other one was naked and lost, which is Bruce. And Willie was there, but like Willie's a child, so they're like, well, we can really only temporarily exploit you.
Oh yeah,
and then you gotta go do your homework.
Because they keep telling him, and this is something they're pushing, you know, just to get good ratings with parents, is like, you definitely need to go back to school. Like, dude, you are in space and you are in danger of losing your entire race. School is going to be the last thing you're worried about for your
exactly.
Engineer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, man, you find out there's this whole universe of talking animals and like toads are driving freaking spaceships. I'm like, I'm not worried about my math homework right now. You know, it kind of changes perspective just a little.
The bullies come in also, and this is like I had said earlier about the skateboard thing or about the project thing, which turns out to be a computerized skateboard. Like he doesn't want to do it, but then his friends are like, I don't know, it looks pretty cool. And he's like, all right, but I better not fail or something. And I don't know, like that felt really forced to me. And that's why the human parts felt really weak in comparison to the awesome space parts that they had.
And you know what? Like, I don't think they even resolved that in the episode.
I don't think so either.
Now I'm thinking about it. I don't think they ever went back to it.
I hope they never did.
That would be funny.
I know they didn't in that episode. We got to see some like, this is where Toadborg comes in. He's basically just a big toad looking robot. I think he's like a dead toad.
Doesn't even
toad
look that much like a toad either. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a some sort of mech. And I don't know if it's a suit or if it's a robot. I don't know.
I think it's a dead toad whose sentience was put inside of a robot.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he's Toadborg.
I mean, I used to put dead toads in like people's shoes. Never thought to put it in a robot.
So this is who Complex puts in charge of the invasion of Genus. And because Complex has lost confidence in the Air Marshal for obvious reasons, like he's incompetent and stupid. Oh, they keep saying that they need to croak some toads, like instead of killing toads, it's croak toads. Them. And then for the toads, it's like we need to like mash some mammals, I think it is.
Ew.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot grosser than croaking a toad.
Croaking a toad.
Because toads croak by themselves. They make the croaking noises.
Mm-hmm.
Mammals don't mash themselves. That's what cars do. I don't know. We also get introduced to the missing ape, Bruce. We get introduced to his brother, Bruiser.
Oh, yeah.
Who, he comes to Bucky angry and mourning because he's been told that, you know, Bruce is gone and missing, and he wants to help find him and stuff. I guess he just kind of gets hired on as, like, muscle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like a space marine.
So there's Bruiser. The next episode is very much about Bruiser, so we'll get there.
Yeah, this episode though kind of wraps up after Toadborg is introduced and Bucky is going to have to fight Toadborg. Well, the Alan Negator, like, he succeeds with his mission of getting the satellite controls and also sabotaging Bucky's ship, and things are looking really grim. And then what's interesting is at the end of each episode, they have previews for the next episode, but a lot of times it gives too much away.
Right.
So it's like it kind of takes away from the suspense at the end of this episode.
It literally spoils the next whole episode. It's like, find out what happens on the next episode when Bucky defeats this person and everything is saved. Yeah, on the next Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The previews at the end were bothering me just because they were giving too much away and gave you no room for suspense from those sometimes dramatic endings that the episodes had.
Exactly.
But the third episode we watched for today's show was chosen by me because I like the name of it. It was Bye Bye Berserker Baboon. And this is before I knew anything about who the baboons were or anything. This was season 1, episode 12. And on this one, the Toads invade the homeworld of Bruiser and his fellow Beetlejuicean baboons, using special goggles to prevent their fear of their most terrifying foes. And yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Also, we see, and this is something that we saw Bruce do as well. Bruce and Bruiser both, and maybe it's just like an ape thing, but when they charge into battle, they say like, Ayuga, or something.
I think it's supposed to be Ayuga.
But it's
not Ayuga. What the hell is Ayuga?
No, I'm serious. That's what it says, though.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ayuga, like Ayuga. I don't know. I don't sound like it.
That's what I would have thought it was. But the more I heard it, the more it sounded like a Yuga.
That's stupid.
So we'll see. Yeah.
So like the berserker baboons are the things that the toads fear the most. So in order to get past that, that robot thing, what was it called?
Toadborg.
Toadborg. is just like, has somebody design some glasses that his toad warriors can wear, and it makes the baboons instead look like chimps, and then they're no longer afraid of them.
Yeah, and what I thought was interesting about that was what Toadborg was saying was that the reason that they feared them was based on their innate response to seeing them more than it was their size or their strength or anything. It was just their appearance.
Yeah.
Well, which in part was their size also, but their appearance is what was scaring them and forcing them to go basically to become almost useless in battle. So with these goggles on, seeing them as chimps instead, their bravery remained and they were able to actually get a lot done with those goggles.
Side note, did you catch the mistake in the voice acting here?
Mm-mm.
So Willie called Jenny Kitty in one part. Like, he gets a phone call and he's like, oh, like, what's going on, Kitty? And I was like, huh, maybe I misheard that. So I went back and played it again. I'm like, no, that is a definite K. He called her Kitty.
Maybe that's her nickname or something.
No, her nickname is Pilot.
Oh, it was, that's right.
So maybe that's his like pet name for her.
Yeah.
Because those two have like some like sort of love thing going on, or maybe he is taking her on as a pet because she is a cat.
True. But I wonder if she travels back to the human world, if she becomes like a cat.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine this, like, this cat woman walking upright, you know, looking the way she does, and she's just like, can I have a saucer of milk? And you're just like,
I'd be real disturbed.
Whole or skim?
What do cat women like?
I have a 1%.
We do see Willie actually talking to, flirting with some, not even flirting. Like, he's talking to a couple girls. One of them is TJ, who is just trying to use him for his homework just to take advantage of him. But he right. has a crush on her and thinks, he literally says that he thinks he likes, or that she likes him.
Yes.
And because he's an idiot. And yes. He has this other girlfriend who's got a very Bostonian accent, I guess. And
yeah, she does. Good God.
Yeah, yeah, it's really hardcore. I don't even know her name. Like, they never say it in the episode, I don't think.
I don't know. I was trying to answer while I was thinking at the same time and realized I did not know. So
no, I don't think they say it.
But she's very, like, she gets upset with Willie because he's so stupid.
Yeah. So I mean, as we all do. So I'm completely with her.
You know what, though? Like, Willie getting all this attention from the girls. He's got two human girls. He's got a cat girl. Like, Willie starts manning up in this episode. So, like, Bruiser is getting some sort of award on his home planet. So they all go. Willie goes to, and he gets his little award. And somebody's like, hey, Bruiser, you're so good at being an ape man. Could you train these new cadets? So he's like, yeah. So they go in this little cabin. There's like four cadets he's got to train. He brings Willie. And he's trying to teach them the Awooga thing. And he does it for them. And then, like, they do it. And they're just like, Awooga. And he's like, no, even Willie can do it better than you. And he's like, Willie, show him. And Willie does the exact scream in Bruiser's voice.
Yeah. And it looks really weird. It looks really weird coming out of his mouth like that.
It's hilarious. And his mouth gets all big and stuff. It was strange. Yeah. But it was around this time that the toads show up with those glasses on. And this was weird to me because apparently the berserker baboons are not that strong. Without the intimidation factor, the toads aren't scared anymore. They overcome the baboons in seconds. Like, it's no contest. And I'm like, man, yeah. I guess they aren't even that strong.
With some basic nets. Like, not
yeah,
even,
they
like,
just capture them in nets.
It takes, like, two toads to just throw a net on them and just drag them. They're like, no.
But this is where I was like, man, Willie's becoming a badass. Because when Willie sees them all getting, you know, caught in the nets, Willie runs up and just punches a dude in the face. just And, I mean, knocks him right out.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck?
Willie, honestly, like, as much as I don't like him as a character, at least in the first few episodes, like, he really did, like, step up this episode because...
Well, I feel like it was this episode where, like, the writers and stuff, they're like, we know the show is ending. We don't even care anymore. So they just, you know, they had that mistake where he called the cat Kitty instead of Jenny. And they're like, we're not even going to fix it. And they're like, you know what? Let's have Willie punch this guy in the face and knock him out. Let's make him
as hard
star.
As he can. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
and then he
and give him all the girls.
He's also the one that discovers the goggles and what they do, like, is able to, like, reverse the polarity of it to make them. Well, he doesn't really reverse the polarity. He just turns them off, basically.
Yeah, and then there's a whole lot of other things that go on. They bring down the toads. Bring down a giant pink abomination toad to
the terror toad.
Yeah, to fight because, like, Bucky and Deadeye start kind of intervening and they're helping the baboons. And the toads are like, nope, we're not going to lose this one. So they send that thing. And of course they lose anyway.
Yeah, it gets like, because like after the goggles get turned off, the toads start to run the regular yeah. toad troops. And then they're getting pulled up, like beamed up onto their ship by this really slow tractor beam thing. And then there's
the pink thing.
Bucky O'Hare makes like the quickest trip to another planet and back that he could possibly make in his little ship. Because before, it's foreshadowed that there's this planet near, I think it's one of the moons of the baboon planet, is just surrounded by a ring of, like, bugs. And so he gets in his ship, goes to that, grabs, like, a jar or a whole bag of bugs, and then brings it down, like, distracts the terror toad with some flies. And, you know, he's loving it, so he chases the bag down, and then Bucky throws the bag into that tractor beam, which sends the terror toad up onto the ship, and then now it's their problem to deal with. because he is friend. Terror Toad is friend to no one.
No, Terror Toad hates everything.
Yeah.
So, like, I learned that the Berserker baboons, not as strong as you would think. They're all kind of stupid, too. They're all kind of idiotic. And they all dress the same. You know, the cadets all look alike. Makes sense to an extent. But all the rest of them wear the same hat and overalls also.
How about the ladies, the ones like Bruiser's mom and stuff?
Look just like the women from Boston.
I'm sorry, women from Boston.
And yeah, so Willie is actually the hero of the day. You know, what's funny is you said, like, you know, once the goggles get turned off and stuff, but it's not like the goggles didn't really get turned off. They just realized they could pull the goggles off these guys' faces. And so that's what turned the tide of the battle. They're like, oh, we'll just take their glasses off.
That's true.
And well, that wins.
So what did Willie even do to the goggles? Anything?
Nothing besides, like, you know, took the time to look at them and figure out that was the thing.
Oh, so either way, it worked. It was a pretty cool episode.
It worked, yeah.
Well, Chris, it looks like it's about time we finish off the photon accelerator we've been working on so we can test it out on our inner kids to see if we can warp them to the Antiverse. However, since it's primarily built from cardboard, rubber bands, and duct tape, we may be better off just having them watch the show so they can tell us what they thought of Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars.
Animals in space shooting laser guns and fighting battles sounds awesome. But this cartoon wasn't really awesome. It was just okay. I wasn't that interested in the characters as much as I hoped, except Jenny was super cute. So I ended up giving this show 3 bowls of flam cereal out of 5, and I just hope that someday, if I end up in space, I can hang out with some cooler pirates than a bunny and a cat.
You know, when I first stepped into this, I thought it was going to be another run-of-the-mill Saturday morning cartoon, but I ended up being pleasantly surprised. The story was relatively mature, the visuals were great, and the majority of the characters, with the exception of Willie, were interesting and unique. Honestly, I feel like this show is somewhat underrated since they only gave it a single season, but I would love to see more. Overall, I'd give Bucky O'Hare 4 big bowls of Ayuga cereal out of 5, and now that I know it's based off a comic book, I'm going to have to find it. But before I do that, I need to get a hold of some of that wart growth cream that the pretty toad ladies were using. If this show taught me anything, it's that chicks dig facial blemishes.
You know, that must be why I had so many girlfriends in high school. Because yeah. I was just, like, covered in blemishes, you know?
Yeah, and ladies. They're covered in blemishes attractive. And ladies.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, they can at least play connect the dots and make, like, a cool little giraffe on my cheek.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So speaking of giraffes, do you have any final thoughts on this show?
I had seen it before, and I remember liking it as a kid, but only really because I liked the visuals at that point. But coming back into it, while I don't think the cartoon was perfect, I do love the mythology to it. And I'm really curious about reading those comics where Bruce dies and Willie is trapped there in the Antiverse. Like, it sounds like that a lot of the stuff was done with a more serious tone. And I would love to check that out because I think it's kind of ripe for that. And overall, I really dug the whole Toad Empire aspect being brainwashed. It kind of reminded me almost of They Live. In a way, except with toads. And so I was really digging that aspect of it. And so as much as they had to tone it down for a kid's cartoon, I still felt like they did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, I really did like that part about, you know, where Complex came from, him being like the sentient version of the internet. But other than that, I had trouble getting into the show. There wasn't as much character development for a few of the main crew, at least not in what we saw. And I didn't think that the voice acting for Bucky and Jenny was super stellar, but I do got to give it to Scott McNeil, who voiced Deadeye, because, like, he was really good. And Berserker Baboon was pretty good, too. What's interesting is that, I mean, there is a whole nother character that's part of the crew that we did not talk about at all, except for the cast part. But it's because we hardly ever see him, and that's AFC Blinky. He's in a little bit of that first episode, and then he really doesn't come into play hardly at all. So it's just kind of like I don't know, I feel like they mismanaged a lot with this show as far as the characters go. I think they could have done a better job, but it was still fun. It was still enjoyable. It's just, you know, for me, it was kind of run of the mill.
Yeah, it was kind of like almost an animalized version of Star Wars in a way. Certain things about it.
Yeah, it's like a Star Wars, Star Trek hybrid with Animal Farm.
Except imagine if Star Wars brought a kid from Earth from a different dimension into their universe. It would be what this show tried to do with Willy. And
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they did from Phantom Menace. They just plucked some little kid from the street who was on his way to school. And they're like, you want to be in a movie? And he's like, okay.
You know what? That is what they did with the guy who played Anakin, exactly. The older version, not the young one.
Oh, really?
Like Jake Lloyd had been in some stuff before, but the Christian.
Oh, Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. Yeah. Like, George Lucas just like liked the way he looked or something for the part.
Oh, that's weird. Would he just like run into him at a mall and he was just like, saw his senior picture on one of those like little stands in the middle of the mall. And he's like, we got to get that kid in our movie. I think the teenagers or teenage girls will really get into it.
I think it was something along those lines.
Perfect. That's exactly what he should have done.
So we had kind of mixed feelings on this between us, but thanks for suggesting it, David Binda.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching...
The Year Without a Santa Claus! Suggested by Christmas.
Thanks, Christmas.
Thanks, Christmas. You owe me. You owe me. A Nintendo Switch. Just wanted to clarify, Christmas... owes me a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, Christmas.
Better get on it.
Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth.
A place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.